Holding the last words of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, we said in the Mishnah that we had again Rabbi Gamliel saying "Ein get acha get ve ein maimer acha maimer," that a second get after the first one has no effect as far as passing her to her relatives for him to marry, and the same way that one maimer after another doesn't have any effect like that either. And the Chachamim disagreed. So we said in the Mishnah, Ketzad, what do we mean by that? Also Maimer Kula. So then, so after we mentioned this Ein Get Acha Get and Ein Maimer Acha Maimer, then the Mishnah started saying that Ketzad, it said, if he did Maimer with his Yavama and then gave her a get, then she needs that. We're talking about where there was one Yavama and one Yavama to start with. So he did Maimer and then gave her a get. Then she needs Chalitza from him, and then it continued with various other permutations like that. So in particular, it mentions over there cases where you have a get and then another get. So the Gemara asks, "Hi get acha getu?" It's a question. "Hi get acha getu?" When you're saying over here, the Chachamim are saying, "Ain get acha get," and then the Mishnah is not giving an example of get acha get. The Mishnah is giving an example of get acha maimer, which even Rabbi Gamliel agrees is valid. So the Mishnah is telling us a din. Then it's saying ketzad to illustrate it, but the illustration that it's giving seems to have nothing to do with the actual situation under discussion. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Hachi Kama. Rabbi Yehuda says the Mishnah means like this: get acha get. Or maimer acha maimer. What are examples of get acha get and maimer acha maimer? That is kidam moran. That's like we said before. We brought yesterday a brisa that illustrated the example. For example, where there are two yavamas and he did a maimer with one and a maimer with the other, or a get to one and a get to the other. Obviously, there's no such thing as maimer acha maimer or get acha get by one yavam and one yavama, because it's meaningless to talk about. The meaningless, even the chachamim are going to say it's meaningless to talk about maimer acha maimer or get acha get in that case. So the Mishnah, the Gemara seems to be almost saying like a chasuri mechsera, but not even. The point is that we have a braisa which spells out the cases of get acha get and the cases of maimer acha maimer. And then the Mishnah is continuing. Yavam echad v'yavama achas ketzad. Now, how do you have? What is the scenario when you have one yavam and one yavama? So ketzad hatarasan. What's the method by which we make the woman mutter to marry outside the family? That would be, for example, osam maimer. And the first example is osam maimer v'yavimta even osam laget. Where if he did maimer and then gave her a get. Where the way for her to become mutter is to have chalitza. And then you have the various other cases where you need get and chalitza, or when we say einacha chalitza klum or einacha bia klum, and nothing else is necessary. So it's almost like a chasuri mechsura, but maybe the Gemara is not actually saying the words chasuri mechsura, because over here we actually have a braisa that goes in tandem with the Mishnah and spells out the details of what Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim are arguing about. Now the Mishnah had said osam maimer baal harezu kmitzvah. So we said that we went through the various scenarios, and one of them was that we're talking with one yavam and one yavama. If he did maimer, which is kedushin, and then he did beila harezu kmitzvah, then that's the proper way of doing the mitzvah, because that's how you're supposed to do it.
The proper way to do it is a maimer or is it?
So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. So the Gemara says, "Lema Messiah Leila Rav Huna." Well, does that mean that our Mishnah supports Rav Huna? Do Amar Rav Huna mitzvahs Yavama Mekadesh Va'Chatach Boil? Rav Huna says that explicitly. The proper way of the actual mitzvah of Yavama is to do kiddushin and then be'ila. And our Mishnah seems to be saying that when it says Harezu Kumitzvasa. The Gemara says not necessarily, because Ema Afzek Kumitzvasa. Because maybe what the Mishnah means is also this is Kumitzvasa. In other words, that there are two ways that it could be kumitzvasa. Be'ila with... there could be two ways of doing kumitzvasa. One where there's no maimer at all, only be'ila. And the other one where there's maimer and then be'ila. Anything else, any other permutations that involve get or chalitza are not going to be kumitzvasa, obviously, because if there's chalitza, then for sure you can't do... if there's chalitza, then for sure you can't do be'a. One second. You were looking at it. So obviously, if there's get involved over there, then already the bia is not kmitzvasa. And if there's chalitza involved, there's nothing even to talk about, because chalitza is valid on a daraisa level, and therefore you certainly can't have bia after it. But the Mishnah is not necessarily implying, like Rav Huna says, that the ideal way to do the mitzvah is maimer and then bia. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us that there are two equally ideal ways to do it: maimer and then bia, or just bia. So then it would say after second mitzvah. So also this is according to the mitzvah. Well, then the question would be pshita. Wouldn't that be obvious? Why would we think that there's anything wrong with doing maimer and then bia? On the contrary, Rav Huna is telling us that's the ideal way to do it. But why would we think that it's worse, such that the Mishnah would have to stress for us after zekum mitzvah? So the answer is because otherwise, sapudat hamina, you would think like this. Given the Omer Mar, given that a brisa says, we learned this back in we learned the brisa that we said yesterday, where we illustrated the opinions of Ram Gamliel and the Chachamim. When you have multiple Yuvamim or multiple Yuvamos, we said ha'oisa maimer b'yuvimtoi. We said that when this Hoyov Omer Mar really actually is a brisa that we had earlier in the Masechta, back in the third parak. So we said there, that when he does maimer, when he does kiddushin of a yavama, at that point the original zika of a yavam goes away, and now you have a new zika which is similar to erusin. And we discussed over there the relevance of that. We said according to Beis Shammai, in fact, that maimer we learned yesterday also, that according to Beis Shammai, that maimer is strong enough that it makes her tantamount to being his wife. Such that if later on another Yuvamo, who's her sister, comes up for Yibum, then we say she's a chos isha and we don't need to worry about her. They still will disagree. Okay, fine. But nevertheless, we still use the expression over there that the context was that Rabbah had said to Abaya we were talking about over there. What according to Beis Shammai, we were talking about what does Maimer accomplish? According to Beis Shammai, the equivalent of Nisuin or the equivalent of Erosin, and Rabbah mentioned the concept over there that when you do Maimer, then Zikas Yivomin goes away, and now you have a new Zikas Erosin. So now the question is, what is it? Does it actually have the strength of Erosin or of Nisuin? So therefore, given that we're saying that concept, that there is that now a new kind of zikas erusin is created. Well, or nisuin, or we said over there, it might even be like nisuin. So aim a lav mitzvah kavid. So maybe now by doing mimer, you're making it that now you're not really doing the mitzvah in the proper way anymore, because maybe the proper way to do the mitzvah is where the bia is the result of zikas yevomin, not of a new kind of zika that was created as a result of the mimer. So therefore, that would mean that actually, and if we were to say that, then it would come out that actually the proper way to do it would in fact be without mimer first, and so then Rav Huna would be telling us mitzvah yivama is to do kiddushin and then bia, but the Mishnah wouldn't be implying that. The Mishnah maybe would be implying that the better thing is to do bia directly, because that way you're still coming on the basis of the original zikas yivamin. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, don't think that because it's a new kind of Zika, therefore it means that the Yibum is not the ideal way. No, the ideal way, or at least an ideal way, it's equally ideal to do with or without, to do with or without Maimer. So now comes Rav Huna and says, Mitzvah Yibumin, the proper way to do the Mitzvah, Dirabanan at least, is to do Maimer first. So the Gemara says Gufa. Now let's get back to what Rav Huna says. Let's analyze it. Mitzvah Yevamin Mekadesh V'Achakach Boil. We said the ideal way to do the mitzvah of Yevamin is that you do kiddushin, which is mimer, and then you boil. V'im Bol V'Osam Mimer. If you did it the other way around, if you did Ve'ila and then you did mimer, Kona, then he's still Kona her. Says, what's the point of mimer after that? In Bob, also mimer, pshita. Obviously, if you did the mimer afterwards, then it's poshut. He was already koina her. Dhokanya babia. No question. He was already koina her with bia. So, in other words, Tosfos says the question is not that bia itself is enough, because the question rather is obviously mimer, doing mimer after bia is not weakening the force of the bia. So if bia by itself is enough to accomplish, which we're going to talk about at the beginning of the next perek, abal yavimto, ben ba'onis, ben berotzen, etc., then he's koina, then there's no reason to think that maimer afterwards would weaken that such that Rav Huna would have to tell us otherwise. So the Gemara says, ela ema im ba'al beloy maimer kona. So you're right. What Rav Huna means to say is not ba'al ve'osa maimer, but on the contrary, im ba'al beloy maimer. If he did, well, not really the contrary. He means if he did Be'ila without doing Mimer first, then Kona, then you're also Kona. So in other words, what he's saying is that you would think, without Rav Huna telling you that, you would think that maybe you have to Davka do it in that order, first Mekadesh and then Boil. Now, Daraisa, for sure, we would know, we don't need Rav Huna to be telling us that Be'ila is enough. And we don't need the Gemara to be telling us that. But you would think that maybe once the Chachamim came up with the concept of Mimer, then if you do it any other way without Mimer, maybe in fact you're not Koina. Maybe the Chachamim have the ability to say that's not fully Koina. And therefore we're saying that no, that's not what the Chachamim are saying. That even on a Dirabonan level, you are Koina. As we're going to say in a second, you might get Makas Maudus for it, but you were Koina. Even though you, because the fact is, because Daraisa, Be'ilah is enough. So even though the Chachamim were misakin that you have to do Mimer, that doesn't mean that if he didn't do Mimer, it wasn't effective. It just means if he didn't do Mimer, he was over on something the Chachamim said. But not that it... So you do have to do Mimer because the Chachamim told you to. But Rav Huna is telling us that. So Rav Huna, that's the point. Rav Huna is telling us, mitzvah yibomin, the proper way to do the mitzvah is mekadesh v'achafach boil. The imbob also mimer, and now we're correcting this to imbob beloy mimer. If you never ended up doing mimer at all, or if you did it after the be'ilah, as the case may be, either way, it's the same thing. You did the be'ilah without mimer beforehand, then you are koina. Don't think, this is how Tosfos teaches out with the Gemara, don't think that maybe because you were over al dibre chachamim, therefore the chachamim are removing the effect of the kiddushin and saying that the Be'ilah was a Be'ilah psula and therefore doesn't have the effect of fully making her his wife. No, we're saying it still does. You were over on Divrei Chachamim for not doing Kiddushin first.
One question. If he had the Kavana to Mekadesh her only after he did Bia and Mimer.
Well, Mimer is Kiddushin. Doesn't matter. That's what we're going to talk about at the beginning of the next parak. We're going to talk about that regardless, as long as he had an intent for bia, then it doesn't matter whether he intended for the mitzvah or not. We're going to see that at the beginning of the next parak. No. Falling is something else, because there he didn't have an intention for bia at all. We're talking about where he had an intention for bia, and the Gemara is going to give some examples at the beginning of the next parak. Nevertheless, even though he had no intention for the mitzvah of yibum at all, but as long as he had an intention for some kind of bia, then he is koina. Yeah.
Okay.
But what we're saying is that he's over al dibre chachamim because they told him to do mimer, but nevertheless he is koina. So the Gemara says, "Bahatanya loike." What do you mean, though? We learn in a brisa that if he does that, he gets malchus, and malchus is for something daraisa. So it sounds like daraisa you need mimer. Tosfos explains, obviously, still, the Chachamim knew that Mimer was only Dirabanan, but the Chachamim thought what it meant is that we're treating him as if he had not done Yibum, but rather as if he had been over on an Issur Erva, because after all, she is his brother's wife, and therefore Dirabanan, we would prevent it from taking effect. And the answer is that no, that's not what it means. Makas maudus midirabonon. All we mean is he gets makas maudus dirabonon. In other words, the Chachamim are not touching the actual yibum itself. The actual yibum itself is valid, even though it's not done the way the Chachamim told you to. However, because the guy broke Dibre Chachamim, who told him to do Maimer first, therefore he's getting makas maudus for that. As we have, in fact, the Rav mangid. In fact, Rav would give malchus for the following things, which are also dirabanan. First of all, man de mekadesh b'bia, a man who is mekadesh a woman with bia. We know from the beginning of Kiddushin that there are three ways that you can be mekadesh a woman: kesef, shtar, and bia. But if a man is mekadesh a woman with bia, that he says, namely, he says to her, hareyat mekudeshes li b'bia zu, and then they go into yichud together in the presence of Edim, because that's how it gets accomplished. They don't do the actual act in front of Edim, of course, you're not allowed to. But anyway, so Midaraisa, it is a valid kedushin, but Rav would give such people malchus for doing that, which it's a dirabanan because it's a pritzistika thing. It shows a lack of tznius, and also several others. Uman de makadish b'shuka, he would also give makas maudus to somebody who is makadish out in the street, and there we mean even if he's makadish with money, because it's still Rashi says minig zilos of pritzusi. It's a cheap pritzistika way of doing things. Like you just go and in full view of everybody in the street and give a woman money and say how to act makudashously. It's a pritzistika thing. I think the Rambam even says, I mean, it slightly resembles a kadesha where you tell her, you know, here is some money and let's go to bed together. So he would give petch for that. Also a man who is makadish a woman without shiduchim first. So shiduchim means pretty much what we think of nowadays as shiduchim, namely that you agree ahead of time that you're going to go through with this. So like this, if he goes over out of the blue and gives her kedushin and says, hadayat makudashesli, it is valid as long as she accepts it. But nevertheless, Rav would give them makas maudus for that, again, because it's pretty stiff. Umadim of batol gita, also Rav would give petch to somebody who was mevatel a get. Now you can have. We'll learn in Masechet Gittin next year, Bez Hashem, that you can have that a man sends a get to his wife, and then before it reaches her, he's mevatel it. He has the ability to, but nevertheless, that can create problems. The get is going to be delivered to her. She's not going to know it's batel. She's going to end up remarrying, and then she's an eishes ish, and then her children from her second husband are going to be a mamzerim. So Rav would give makas maudus to somebody who did that, who was mevatel a get. In fact, Tosfa says Rav himself holds that in fact that the husband does not even have the power to be mevatel it. But nevertheless, Rav would still give him makas maudus because by doing that, by attempting, by seemingly being mevatelet, he's still moitzi laz ala get. He makes people question the validity of the get, and you're not supposed to do that. So for that reason alone, he would give him makas maudus. And another one would be a person who gives a maidah before he gives a get. Namely, a maidah in general, a maidah in halacha, in Gittin and in other areas of halacha, is where a person makes an announcement ahead of time that what he's about to do is against his will, and he doesn't really want it, and he doesn't really want it to be valid. You could have, for example, a person is selling property, for example. You know, you have the local mafia is forcing him to sell property to them. So he makes a maidah ahead of time, saying that he's not really selling it willingly, but only under duress. And that gives him the ability later on to get them to take them to Beis Din and have the sale voided. So in the same way with a get has to be given with the rotzen of the husband. So you can have the same idea where he gives a maidah ahead of time, saying that this get that I'm about to give is under duress, and therefore it's no good. So in fact, for that reason, Tosfos explains that usually what we do is, in fact, this is actually part of the standard Seder HaGet that you can find in the poskim, is we tell the husband before he gives the get in Beis Din, we tell him to be mevatel in front of the Beis Din any maidos that he had ever made about this get or about any other get. And that way it avoids problems. Nevertheless, though, still the... Well, maybe not any other get. I don't remember that point. But whatever, he has to be mevatel any other possibilities of maidah on this get. Yeah. Anyway. So even so, Tosfa says, again, just the fact that he gives maidah would be reason for Rav to give him petch. Because, again, motzi la'az ala get. Some people are going to have heard his original maidah. They're not going to hear his retraction. They're going to see that he afterwards gave a get to his wife. They're going to say, hey, but he said a maidah on it. And they're going to be motzi laz and start questioning the validity of the get and questioning the validity of her remarriage. And we don't want that. And therefore, Rav would give him petch for such a thing. And another one, uman de pokir shlucha de rabbanon. Another, the Gemara is just bringing the whole list together. Also, another thing Rav would give a person makas maudus for is mander pokir shlucha de rabbanon, a person who acts chutzpedik against a shliach of the rabbanon. Rashi says shliach based in. Rashi apparently had the gears of shliach based in. Shlicha de Rabbanan would be more generally a shliach of the Chachamim. For example, Tosfos gives the example. You have the story in Kiddushin where Rav sends somebody, or not Rav, Rav Yehuda sends somebody to sends his shamash to the meat store, to the butcher shop to buy meat, and somebody over there is chutzpahdik and demand what are you letting him go ahead? And he calls Rav Yehuda names, and Rav Yehuda put him in cheirim over there. So over here we're saying that actually, so there he put him in cheirim, which is stronger because he was mevazer Rav Yehuda himself. Had he just harassed the shliach, then he would have gotten petch for it. So therefore, it's not even a shliach of a beis din; it's just a shliach of the chachamim. In fact, there was a girsa some of the rishonim have, not even a shliach of the rabbanon or a shliach of the chachamim, but in general, a young talmid chacham. Anyway, so that's another one. Uman de shohi shamta de rabbanon alei tlos in yomen. Another one, Rav would give petch. Is somebody who allowed a shamta, which is the strongest kind of cherem of the chachamim, to remain on him tlos in yoimin for 30 days, and he did not come to Beis Din to ask for the shamta to be removed. So he's showing, in other words, that he really doesn't care about it. So Rav would make him care by giving him petch. And another one, the last one, ba'al chasna the doyur bebei chamui, and also Rav would give petch. To a son-in-law who lives in his father-in-law's house, because there can be problems of pritzus over there, because between the older couple and the younger couple, it's a commonplace thing in the Gemara sometimes that a son, you know, we often have there's old jokes about mothers-in-law, but the Gemara seems to take it in many places that actually a son-in-law Davka has often a close relationship, and sometimes an inappropriately close relationship with his mother-in-law, and therefore for them to live in the same house is no good, and Rav would give them petch for that. Now nowadays we sometimes have married couples who live in the same house or the same building as their in-laws, and we'll get to that in a minute, why that's less of an issue. But anyway, so Rav would do that. So the Gemara asks on that last one, D'doyer in d'cholif loy? So you're telling me only if he lives there, but not if he just passes by? Wasn't there an example of a son-in-law who just walked by the door of his father-in-law's house, the Nagdei Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes gave him Malkus Maudus? So you see that even that is a problem. And the answer is that was a special case. Hahu made him have a dayim mechamse. There were rumors going around. And he would shoot his daima, means suspected. His mother-in-law was in fact suspected already of being mezana with him, and therefore just in passing by is reason enough for Rav Sheshes to give him malchus. You need to stay away from there. But in a normal case where we don't have such chashad, then it's not to that extent. Just him walking in front of there is not a problem, only a problem of him living there. So now the Gemara said, so now the point of this list is that the first one on the list was Manda Makadish Babia. And so therefore we're saying that even when it comes to Yibum, it's true that with Yibum, unlike with regular Kiddushin, the way to do Yibum is with Bia, whereas with regular Kiddushin, you have Kesef and Shtar. But nevertheless, it's still wrong to do Yibum, to try and do the Daraisa kind of Yibum of Bia only, not preceded by Maimo, not preceded by Kiddushin. And therefore we're saying that he does get patched for it. The difference being, though, that in the case of, even with regular Kiddushin, the Kiddushin can still be valid. If he did Kiddushin with Bia, they can still be valid. We're just giving him catch. In a similar vein, when it comes to Yibum over here, we're saying, and this was Rav Huna's point before, that we will give him petch, but nevertheless, the Yibum was still valid because on a Daraisa level, it's valid. And the Chachamim that's the thing. Tosfos is saying that maybe we would think, without Rav Huna telling us, maybe the Chachamim say that it does not have the force of Yibum. But nevertheless, they don't do that. All they do is that maybe they would say it's as if he was Mizana. No, they don't say with his brother's wife, which would be an Issur Kares. They don't say that. All they say is that we're going to give him petch, but nevertheless, the Yibum was still a valid Yibum. He did fulfill the mitzvah, but he did it in the wrong way. Therefore, he's getting that. And the Gemara continues. Nahadoi Amri, the Chachamim of Nahadoi disagreed with that long list. They said, "Bekulule Mangid Rav." No, you have a list over there of like 8 items where Rav would give petch. No, Rav did not give petch. Did not give Makas Maudus for all those things. Ella only for 2 of them. The Makadish Babia, number 1, a man is Makadish a woman with Bia, and number 2, Veloy Shiduchi, and if he does Kiddushin without Shiduchin. but without them agreeing ahead of time that they're going to do kiddushin.
Even
but
if they do it totally in private.
Even if they do it in private. Well, they have to do it in front of Adam at least, yeah. Right. But the point is, the rest of them, for example, that he did it in the shuk, or that he was mevatel a get, or that he was moise meida on a get, or was chutzpedik to a shlucho derabbanon, etc. Then now, do you say that Rav would not give petch for those? Others say that the Nahor Dori are saying that Rav would give petch even for kiddushin with shiduchim, but it was done out in the street. Mishum pritzusa, because again, that's a pritzusa thing to do, and it sort of resembles a kadesha.
So just giving someone a ring.
So just giving someone a ring in the street and saying harayat mekudeshes. So we're saying, according to the second version, or according to the first version actually, because there's no shiduchim out of time. So therefore, so they would give petch for that, yeah. Well, that's fine. To have the chasana itself on the sidewalk is you're still having a chuppah. They're still standing under the chuppah, and symbolically, at least, the chuppah is a room, and therefore it's not really bashuk. It may be visible to everybody, of course, because the sides of the chuppah don't have walls, but nevertheless, it's not really bashuk. Bashuk would just be you're walking down Kingston Avenue.
you're in a band.
Yeah, let's say. So you did that, then that would be princistic, we're saying, yeah. Now, so what about this business of living of a son-in-law living in a father-in-law's house? So first of all, the Ravid on the Rambam says it's really only a problem if they're living in the same room in the house. He says if the daughter and son-in-law have their own room, then the Ravid says that's not a problem. That's first of all. Second of all, there's some Rishonim say, since the Nahor Dori are saying that Rav did not give petch for these other things, so okay, obviously not all the things on the list are mutter. We're not going to say that because you didn't give petch for, let's say, for being mezalzel on a shlucha derabbanan, that therefore you're allowed to do that. But nevertheless, you could say, at least on some of the things on this list, that the Nahor Dori are saying that there's actually not a problem with it, one of them being this one. So Bechlal, and in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that nowadays, people are makel for a number of reasons, one of which being that the fact is, you know, we don't have large houses to live in, or at least they didn't in the times of the post-skim, and therefore, you know, when a son-in-law lives in his father-in-law's house, you see, you know, an edim of kest, as they said, you know, they would live, and then and the father-in-law would pay for room and board while the son-in-law is learning the first couple of years after marriage. It becomes pretty obvious that they're doing it because they don't have any better place to live, rather than that they're doing it in order to make as new as possible. Nevertheless, they still have another room of their own in the house, and that satisfies the Ravid's condition.
They really had all the people living in one room.
Maybe sometimes they would have all the people living in one room, yeah.
For one family.
For one extended family, yeah. Okay. Next. Tanan Rabbanan. So anyway, so the point is, again, we said that no matter what, whether we go according to the original list or according to the Nahor Dori's list, doing kiddushin by way of bia is pritzistik, and therefore gets makas maudus. So that's what Rav Huna is saying. So that's the kulei alma, and that's what Rav Huna is telling us. Then that the proper way to do yibum is maimo, which is kiddushin, and then bia. If you do bia only, then you're getting makas maudus for it, because the fact is you're over on takana of the chacham, and you're acting in a pritzistik way. But nevertheless, the chachamim are not touching the actual validity of the yibum itself. The actual yibum itself is valid, is fully valid on a daraisa level. Okay. Next, the Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan, Ketzad Maimer. How is Maimer accomplished? Nosam laKesef or Yishava Kesef is if he gives her as usual with kedushin, he gives her Kesef, the value of a pruta, or Shava Kesef, and he tells her that you're niskadish to me with Maimer of Yivam. Which of course Rashi points out, it's not really kedushin Gmurim. Real kiddushin gemurim aren't going to be chal over here, because after all, she's in principle an erva to him. But nevertheless, the chachamim still said that you should do it. Over shtar ketzad, then how do you do kiddushin with a shtar? So the Gemara says, what do you mean shtar ketzad? Kedam moran. We know already from the sechta kiddushin how you do kiddushin with a shtar. Kosev lo alan yor aylacheres. If he writes out for her. If he writes out for her on a piece of paper or on a piece of udenware, and even though that paper or that udenware is not a shava pruta, and he writes out the words hareat mekudeshesli, so it would be the same thing over here. What do we need to ask? So Abaya says, you're right. When we're talking about a shtar, we're not talking about the shtar of Maimer. We're talking about the shtar that he writes to a ksuba. So how do you do that? So then the answer, and then the Braisa continues, Kosovlo, he writes out to her, Ano ploini bar ploini, kabilis yos ploinis yivim tiolai, I, ploini ben ploini, am accepting ploinis my yivoma, olai, on me, lozun lafaunis a koroi, that I will sustain her and give her and give her food and clothing and whatever, koroi, as is appropriate, uvilvaj takes a bossa al nichse baile harishin, with the exception that the ksuba is payable out of the nechosim of her first husband. We learned earlier on Daf Lamed Tes, Rashi refers to it over here, that the reason why is normally the ksuba is on his property, but over here, since Isha Hiknu Loi Min HaShemayim, since in effect Hashem was makna her to him by having his brother die and she requiring Yibum, therefore the ksuba does not have to be against his own property, it can be against the property of the dead brother. Usually he's going to inherit it anyway, but we talked about cases where he doesn't. For example, we had the opinion over there of Rabbi Yehuda, if their father was still alive at the time, etc. Anyway, the point is that, yeah. However, the Gemara says, "V'i less lamirishon." However, if she does not have a ksuba from her first husband for whatever reason, or let's say, for example, the first husband didn't leave any nechassim, so then takinu l'rabbanan misheni. Then the chachamim made it
broke.
Let's say he was broke. Yeah. So takinu l'rabbanan misheni. Then the chachamim made a takana that in fact he does write out a ksuba where the ksuba is payable out of his own property, kadesh le'tala be'ein of lo'itzia. Because the whole reason behind the ksuba that the Chachamim made a takana anyway is so it shouldn't be so easy for him to divorce her, knowing that he's going to have to pay out a large amount of money. So if his brother left nechassim, so fine, he's inheriting those nechassim, but nevertheless, we can still say that the ksuba goes against them. But if his brother didn't leave any nechassim, then there has to be a ksuba payable out of his own money, 100 zuz out of his own money. Okay, so in other words, so the Braisa is not talking about how you do kiddushin for a yevama with a shtar. We know it would be the same way as regular kiddushin. We mean how do you write out a shtar ksuvas yevama. Now, it sounds like then the Gemara is saying that you can't be Mekadosh with a shtar. Nevertheless, some of the Rishonim Taka don't bring the concept of doing Maimer with a shtar. However, the consensus of the Mechaba writes, the Ramah writes, and most Achronim follow suit. That in fact, what the Gemara is not saying that a shtar doesn't work for Maimer. It's just that the Braisa does not have to give an example of it, because we know what a shtar for Maimer would look like. It would look exactly like a shtar for Kedushin, but nevertheless, it would in fact be valid. But the Vilna Gaon wants to argue in his notes on Shulchan Aruch that maybe not, maybe by Yivama, it's only Kiddush HaKesed. Okay, fine. The Gemara continues. Is there a set ceremony for Yivama? The Rambam describes that once the Chachamim made this concept of Maimer, then yes, you have the Kiddushin. In effect, it's Kiddushin like regular, and in the same way, you should do Chuppah like regular. And yeah, we pretty much treat it as if it was a regular marriage. Sheva Brachos B'Pashtus. So then you have the usual rule. The Gemara tells us in Ksuvos. We'll learn it in a few months. Bez Hashem. If he's never been married before, then we have full 7 days of Sheva Brachos. If both of them have been married before, then we only have, I think, 1 day of Sheva Brachos. In this case, obviously, she's been married before by definition. If he's never, if the Gemara says over there, Alman Shenosa Almana, or if you have a widower, meaning that he's been married before as well, and he's marrying a widow, then you only have 1 day Sheva Brachos. But otherwise, if he's never been Bochor Shenosa Almana, then you still have 7 days because
so
he.
So
you still have 7 days Sheva Brachos. Yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, Bomine Abaya Merabba. Abaya asked Rabba, what happened? Let's get back to the case of get in our Mishnah. What if he gives her a get? So we're talking about over here, they have a zikra, they haven't yet done yibum or chalitza. He gives her a get and says that with this get, you are divorced from me, but you're not mutter to marry anybody else. So Mahu, does that have any validity? In terms of, obviously it may, so does it have any validity in particular as far as answering her to a koyim? So do we say, get yuvama d'rabbanan hu? So do we say, given that the whole concept of a get by Yavama. So would it pass all that he and his brothers can't do Yivam with her anymore, even though obviously it's not being mocked to her to anybody else? Do we say get Yavama Dirabananu, given that the whole concept of a get to a Yavama is only Dirabanan, then maybe we would say get to Mahani Be'eshes Ish Mahani B'Yavama. Maybe we'd say only the kind of get that's affected by an Eshes Ish is affected by a Yavama. Get Deloy Mahani Be'eshes Ish, Loy Mahani B'Yavama. Whereas one that's ineffective by an Eshes Ish is also ineffective by a Yavama. And this kind is ineffective by an Eshes Ish. It's obviously not a valid get, because a get has to be that it cuts them off. And then it may, and the gufay shall get the central formula of a get is saying harayat moteret v'chol adam, and here you don't have that. So do we say that? Or duma osile chalufa begita? Or maybe do we have the potential problem that it might be confused with a regular get? People see that he gives her such a get, and they're going to think that it was valid, and later on they're going to see her marrying a kohen or something, or marrying one of the other brothers, and then they're going to think that you're allowed to do yibum after a get, which we learned at the beginning of the perek is going to be a problem. Amalei, so Rabbah answers him, Chayshina, Duma also lechlof of the gitter. Yes, as a matter of fact, we are a choshish. It might be confused with a real bona fide get, and therefore it passes her for yibum and has the other consequences. The Gemara says, "Maskev lo Rava b'Chanan, elamei after." Well, by that logic, why limit it to a get? Yohiv lo niyora ba'alma. And if he gives her a blank piece of paper, hachinami de pasla, you're going to say the same thing. It passes her for yibum. Amalei. So Rava answers him. The difference is hosam le pasla b'korna. The difference is a blank sheet of paper doesn't even passel her to marry a kohen. If a kohen gives his wife, or anybody gives his wife, a blank sheet of paper, it doesn't aser her if he dies afterwards to marry a kohen. Hacha kapasla b'korna. Here, with a get where he says, Einat Muteres L'chol Adam, it's true, it's not a valid get. However, it does have the effect of passeling her to marry a kohen. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikahu, when the Pasuk says a kohen should not marry a woman who's divorced from her husband, now why does it have to say from her husband? Who else would she be divorced from? It means, Afilu lo niskarsha ela me'isha. Even if she was divorced only from her husband, he said, Hareat Megurashas, but you're not Muta L'chol Adam, Lo Yikochu, still the Pasuk is telling us that they're not allowed to marry. The Rambam says that it's not a real drasha, it's only an Atzmachta. But anyway, Behind Reya Haget, Shapos of a Corona. This is what we mean by Reya Haget, the aroma or the fragrance of a get, which passels her from Corona. So even though in no way is it a valid get, but it has enough validity, it has the bare minimum validity to passel her to marry a kohen. So in the same way over here, then, if the yavam gives a yavama such a get, it's true, obviously, that it has no real validity of a get. Nevertheless, it's strong enough to asser her to do yibum with him or with any of the other brothers. So that's that. The behind recha get supposed to be going again. Okay. Now let's start a new discussion. Omer Rami Bacham. Now let's start with the following introduction. We know the Chachamim have told us, Omer Echad Lavler, suppose that a man goes to a scribe and he tells her, Ksoiv get la arusasi, write a get for the woman that I am, who is my arusa. So he had already done kiddushin. Remember, you know, in those days they used to do kiddushin and nisuin generally a year apart. So he had already done kiddushin with her. Now, during the time of the kiddushin, during the year, he goes to a sofer and he tells him, "Ksoiv get la arusasi, write out a get for her. Lichsha echna sena agarshena. After I fully marry her, after I do the nisuin with her, then I will use this get to divorce her. Hareza a get, then it is a valid and not a very nice guy to do that. But what we're talking about, the technical halacha, does it work? Hareza a get, it is a valid get, and if he gives it to her after he in fact fully married her, then she is megureshes. If they should be yodei legarsha, because he has the ability to be megarasha with it even now, because after all, an arusa needs a get as well if they want to break up the erusin. So it already has a certain validity. Rashi points out now there is something called get yoshan, which we touched on earlier in our Masechta, and we learn about it in more detail in Gittin. We'll learn about it next year, Bez Hashem. Anyway, a get yoshan is where the husband gave his wife a get, and afterwards they were in yichud together. Bez Hillel says such, and the halacha is like Bez Hillel, that such a get is possible. Now here, obviously, you have afterwards they did bia. Nevertheless, Rashi says, The Gemara tells us over there, it's true that such a get is possible according to Beis Hillel. However, even Beis Hillel agrees that if he gave her such a get and then he went away to Medina Sayyam, then she can remarry using that get. So it's possible, but nevertheless, it still has a certain validity to it. So in the same way over here, it has a certain validity, even though in between they got married. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation, though, because after all, there we're talking about we don't know whether they had relations. Here we know they did because they did nisuin after all. So therefore, Tosfos says that no, what we're talking about over here is he wrote the date on it after the nisuin. So then it's not a get yashan, because after all, based on a get yashan would be the get is dated in Nisan, let's say. He was misyachad with her in Iyar, and then he gives it to her in Sivan. That would be get yashan.
With the date before the nisuin, and the date was dated.
The date on the get is written to the date after the nisuin. So he has it written. He was Makadish her in Nisan. In Iyar, he goes to the sofer, has him write out the get with a date in Tammuz, let's say. Sivan, he marries her, and Tammuz he gives her, and Tammuz he gives her the get. So fine. So now it's not a plea. So now it's given after the date in it, and therefore it's not called get yasha.
And you're not allowed to marry Almanas if you got it. Huh?
You're not allowed to marry a woman Almanas the Gausha, but nevertheless, he did that, and we're saying that works.
So probably give him that.
Yeah. Now on the probably yeah. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Now, Romi Bachama continues. Ula Isha Ba'alma. Now, we know that if he did that with a woman to whom he had not been Makadish yet, so if he goes to a sofer and says, I intend to be Makadish this lady and later on to divorce her, I want you to write a get in advance for that, then ain't get, then it's not a valid get. Because he doesn't have the ability at that time to be Makadish her, because there's not even Kedushin, and therefore Gedushin between them is meaningless. So now, with all that introduction, boy, Rami Bachama, the Yavim Toi Ma'u. So now, Rami Bachama asks, what about while she's a Yavama, while the Zika exists? What if he has the get written, and then after they do Yibum, then he gives it to her? Does it work? Ma'u, what would be the din? Now, what does it work in what sense? So Tosfos says, that obviously it can't mean that potentially the get should be allowing her to remarry, because the fact is at the time he wrote it there was only a zika, and a get doesn't have the ability at the time during the zika. A get only has the ability to prevent them from doing yibum. So why would we say that a get written during that time would now? Why would Rami Bachama even be asking whether it has the ability to be mater her to marry somebody else? Rather, Tosfos says. The question is, does such a get passel her from kahuna? Is it considered reyach haget? That's one explanation in Tosfos. Then Tosfos gives a second explanation from the Rivon that the question is, if he wrote it before Mimer and then he did Mimer and then he used this get, does it remove the Mimer? Does it have the effect of removing the Mimer? Given that he has the ability at that point to do Mimer. And then different other Rishonim talk about the Rosh talks about, the Rashba talks about that. No, maybe not. Maybe in fact, like Tosfos had rejected the possibility. Maybe in fact, we are asking whether the get has the ability to actually work as a full-fledged get after he were to do Yibum. The idea being, because it's biyoda, he has the ability, the same way as we said before, biyoda lagarisha, doing the Erisin, he has the ability to be Magarisha. Well, the same way now, doing the Zika, at any time, he has the ability to break the Zika through Chalitza, or to accomplish that the Zika is fulfilled through Yibum. And therefore, we can say it's biyoda, and therefore, maybe he has the ability to give her, to write a get even now, even during the time of Zika. Which is, so according to them, that's what Rami Bachama is asking. There's an explanation. Reb Shimon Shkop, the famous Reb Shimon Shkop in his sefer Shara Yosha, which deals with all kinds of different issues of sfeikas and chazakas and all kinds of things like that. He discusses over here that maybe what so yeah he so he so he discusses that so he discusses. That maybe over here we wouldn't consider it biyada, even though it's true, of course, he has the ability to do biya, because he says right now you don't have the yibum, doesn't exist yet. The fact is there is no chalitza that's been done yet. There is no yibum that's done yet, and therefore you can't say biyada, he says, about something that doesn't even exist yet. at least with the Erusin, it's biyode, because right now the Erusin already exists. Maybe we can't say biyode about something that doesn't yet exist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's Rami Bar Chama's question. So do we say kiven da gida be karusose damya? Do we say since they're already tied together, they have a zika, then maybe she's already considered like an arusa? And we said before that if he has a get written during the time of erusin, then it works for him to use it afterwards, after the nisuin. Or is gomo kiven da over by maimer loy? Or maybe he hasn't even done maimer yet. So there's only a zika, not even maimer. So maybe loy, maybe he doesn't have that ability. And the answer is teiku. We're not sure. So according to Tosfos's first possibility, then the teiku is we know for sure it doesn't allow her to do anything else. The question is whether it passes her to a koyin. According to Tosfos, the second answer, the question would be, can he use it after Mimer? And the answer is we're not sure. And according to the third possibility, the Rashba and the Rashba and the Rosh and so forth, the question would be, does it actually work as a get to if he gave it to her after the Nisuin to actually allow her to marry out or not? The Rambam seems to also hold that way because he says it's Suffolk Gerishim. Okay. Next. Boy Rab Hananya. Now Rab Hananya has a question. Kosev get lizi kosev loy lamamore. We talked about the concept first where you have there can be two different motivations that you have where Yavam gives a Yavama a get. There can be where he's intending with that get to break the Zika, and we're saying it has the effect that now neither he nor any of his brothers can do yibum with her anymore, but they still have to do chalitza because daraisa, nothing's been done with the zika. And then you have where he gave mimer, and then he gave a get, and then he gave a get for that mimer, to break that mimer. So now, Rav Hanani asks, kosev get was he kosev lo mamor, right? Suppose he did mimer, and now he gave her a get, having in mind to break the zika, but not to break the mimer, or the other way around, he intends to break the mimer and restore things to the original state, but not for his zika. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say mimer ilove zika karami? Does mimer sort of sit on top of the zika? In other words, you have zika to begin with, then he does mimer, which adds something more, and therefore, now, in effect, since he's writing, Rashi actually says he's writing in the get, that he's writing this get only for the zikah, or he's writing it only for the mimer. So by doing that, therefore, he's in effect only divorcing half of her. He's only, in effect, divorcing half a woman. Divorcing half a woman is obviously not valid because it has to be harayat moteres l'chodam, and it can't be because half of her is still tied to him. So do we say that? Or do we say that the zika and the mimer are two separate things? So you have a zika that's completely chal on her, a mimer that's completely chal on her. So fine, then it would be effective. So if he did it, right? Then it would mean the zika has been removed. Now you have lo yivna, therefore none of them can do yivum with her. If he did it l'ma amorei, then it would be she'd be also to him, she'd be mutter to all of his other brothers. Because for the other brothers, we would say, as we said back on Daf Lamed Beis, that he undid, he gave her mimer, now he undid it, so we're back to square one. So therefore, we're back to regular zika. So Rashi learns over here, as the Rambam learned over there also, that it means she's still also to do yibum with him. He's still also to do yibum with her, but the other brothers would be mutter. So what would be the case? Do we say that, or do we say she'd be also to all of them? So the Gemara says, why does Hanani have the question? But tifshet leimid de Rava. Why doesn't he answer it on the basis of what Rava says? De Omer Rava nosan get lama amore hutra tzarasa. Rav said before on Daf Lamed Beis that if he gave a get for his mimer, then fine, she herself is also still to do yibum, but the tzara is still mutter to do yibum. We had a case of that involving over there three brothers and three unrelated women and mimer. So Rava had said over there that if he did mimer if one of them did mimer and then he dies, then you have the problem of zikas shnei yivamin, that the two of the brothers now have that there's a zika that resulted from two different brothers, and therefore that's aishas shnei mesim. And Rava had said over there that if he gives her a get for the mimer, then the first one is mutter, because otherwise you'd have zikas shnei yivamin, but like this the get undoes what the mimer does. So therefore, so Rava says that. So the get undoes the mimer. The Gemara says, okay, the Rava Pshitalei, the Rav Hanani Mibayli. Fine, Rava knows for a fact. Rav Hanani is not so sure. His question is that in fact the case, or do we say that the get does not have the ability to completely undo the minor? And the Gemara says, Teiku, according to Rav Hanania, we can't be sure. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said, Cholatz va'osam mimer. The Mishnah had told us that if he did chalitza, and then he did, the Mishnah had told us that if he did chalitza, and then he did mimer, then we said that the mimer has no effect. We said ein acha chalitza klum, nothing that takes place after chalitza has any effect, and therefore the mimer doesn't. Therefore, for example, we said if there were two yevamim or two yevamos, then the mimer that the second one did or that was done with the second one doesn't answer the relatives. The Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Zud Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now that's specifically according to Rabbi Akiva at the end of the last parak. Where he says, well, there's an Isur Lav, that Kedushin aren't Tofes. Here there's an Isur Lav, because having done Chalitza, they're not able to do, he's not able to marry her anymore. She's also to him by the Isur of Lo Yivne. And Rabbi Akiva holds, as he always does, that Kedushin are not Tofes, B'chai V'lavin. So therefore, according to him, the Maimer has no effect. The Chum say there is something after Chalitza. The Maimer is still able to take effect, because fine, there's a lav of Lo Yivneh, but that doesn't matter. A lav still allows Kedushin to take effect. Therefore, the Maimer will have an effect, and therefore her relative will be also to the brother who gave her Maimer, or the relatives of the Yavama who received the Maimer will be also to that brother. So the Gemara says, "Mi motis mukmas lakir Rav Akiva." So you're telling me that you can make our Mishnah, that you're saying that our Mishnah is going according to Rav Akiva. How? Well, Katani Reisha Udi, in the Mishnah we said Nosan get va'osa mimer, that if he gave her a get and then he did mimer, tzricha get v'chalitza. Then we said she needs both a get and chalitza. The e Rav Akiva. Now, if our Mishnah is according to Rav Akiva, then you wouldn't need the mimer. Again, the mimer would have no effect after the get. Kiven de yoiv lo get, Rabbi Akiva would say, once he gave her a get, mi mahani ba mimer, would mimer be effective anymore? V'hatanya, Rabbi Akiva, minayin l'noisin get leivim. How do we know that if a man gives a get, that if the yavam gives a get to his yavama, to nesra olav olamis, that she becomes also to him forever? The reason is, shenema, the pasuk says, lo yucha bala harishin asher shucha. The pasuk says that her first husband was sent her away. The case we talked about there is the Machzor Grushase that we talked about several times in our Masechta, where she was married to her first husband. He divorced her. She remarried. Then her second husband died or divorced her. She's not allowed to remarry her first husband. But the pasuk says Asher Shucha, that he sent her away. And now you don't need to say Asher Shucha. So therefore it means... Achav shiluach. It means that after sending away, then there can be a case where he's not allowed to remarry her, even if she didn't remarry. Now, what would be that case? Not a regular case of divorce, because a regular case where a couple gets divorced, they're allowed to remarry. It has to be talking about a yavama. So therefore, in effect, Rabbi Akiva is saying, in effect, the pasuk is telling us that if a yavam gives a get to his yavama, then he's never allowed to do yavam with her. Well, the pashtos we assume, since he's mentioning it from pasuk, then it means it's daraisa. If it's daraisa, then it means that then according to him, there's a lav involved. Again, kedushin on atoyfus b'chayve lavin. So why would we even be talking about the mimer having any kind of effect, such that she should need a get for it? So the answer is Amar Ravashi get yivam and midirabanan. Because really, this whole concept that a get does anything to the yivama is really only midirabanan or cross smachta ba'alma. The pasuk is only an asmachta. Rabbi Akiva does not mean that it's an isur daraisa. It's only an isur dirabanan, and an isur dirabanan, of course, kedushin or toifas. So therefore, she needs a get for the minor. So therefore, again, if he gave her a get, which now makes it impossible to do yivam, dirabanan, then he gave her mimer, which has a certain effect, because after all, it is a form of kedushin. Then we're saying that the fact that they're not allowed to continue that with yibum because of the din derabanan, but nevertheless, the kedushin were toifas on a daraisa level, and therefore, because it's only an isur derabanan, therefore she needs a get for that, and she still needs chalitza because of the original zikra. Okay, and the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochim. In fact, we learn like that in a braisa. Omar Rebbe. This that we said, the Tanya Nami Hochi is going on the fact that we said that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. We said that according to Rabbi Akiva, if he did chalitza and then maimer, then the maimer has no effect. Einach chalitza klum. So Tanya Nami Hachiv. We learned similarly in Braisa. Omer Rebbe, ein advarim alolu amurim. All of this is only talking about Elul Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Only according to Rabbi Akiva, shall you oisa chalitza ke'eva, where he holds, as we learned in the previous perek, that when you did chalitza with a woman, it's the equivalent of an eva, because he holds that chalitza makes her also to him on a daraisa level. We said in the previous perek, the other chachamim hold that the chalitza herself is also only drabanan. And Rabbi Akiva holds that it's daraisa. So therefore, and since he says that kedushin, since he says that isur, that an isur lab is like an isur kares and like an isur misas based in that kedushin or antofis, then therefore he says kedushin or antofis with a chalitza. Therefore, if after the chalitza he or another one of the brothers, not he, whatever, if any one of them gives her mimer, then the mimer has no effect. The Chachamim say that no, there is something after Chalitza, meaning that if Maimer was done, the Maimer still has an effect in answering her relatives to him. Vani Omer, then Rebbe continues, I say, there's a difference. Amasai, when do we say that? That after Chalitza, Kiddushin can be Chal? It depends what the motivation for the Kiddushin was. Vizman Kiddushin, Lashem issues. Only if he was Makadisher with full Kiddushin, not just we said on Omer Aleph, that usually when you do Mimer, you say Hareat Makudeshesli, B'Mimer Yivom. You specifically say that I'm doing this as Mimer. But here, Rebbe says, if he did it, l'shem issues, he's saying as full kiddushin, hareat mekudeshesli, then yeah, it's only an issu lav, kiddushin are effective by chai ve'lavin. Avo kiddusho l'shem yabmus, l'shum yabmus, but if he did it having in mind as yibum, if he said hareat mekudeshesli b'maymu yibamim, then einacha chalitza klum, then there's nothing after chalitza, says Rebbe, because then there's no yibum anymore. There's no maymu yibamim to talk about because the chalitza undid that. So that's Rebbe's opinion that he takes a middle ground, depends what kind of kedushin it was. Okay, Tanya Idach, now we have another braisa. Hacholot the Yivimte v'chaz of a kitra, if he did chalitza with his yivama and then was makadisher again, so the same thing. Rebbe Omer, so Rebbe says the same thing as in the previous braisa. Im kitcho v'shum ishu tzricha emenu get. If he's Makadisher as a regular Kedushin, Hareat Makudeshesli, then she needs a get from him because then the Kedushin are Toifus because it's only an Isulav. But L'shum Yabmus ain't Tzricha Yemenu get. But if he did it having in mind Yibum, then she doesn't need a get because there's no Yibum to talk about anymore. The Yibum, the Zika, has been completely removed by the Chalitza. B'chamamim ain't Bencha Kitcha L'shum Ishus, Bencha Kitcha L'shum Yabmus Tzricha Yemenu get. And the Chachamim say that either way, she needs a get. So now, Amar Rabbi Yosef, my time of the Rebbe. So why would Rebbe hold that there's a difference? What's the logical basis for Rebbe's opinion? So Asa'ua ka'oidu b'nichse ager. We draw an analogy to the case where a person is digging in the ground in the property of a ger. Now, if a ger dies, if a ger has his old birth family is not related to him anymore, ger shenis gair kot shenor l'gami. So if he marries and has children, then fine, he has Yoshim, his children. But if not, then he has no Yoshim. Now, any born Jew always has Yoshim because if he doesn't have children, he has his father, he has his father's, he has his brothers, he has his father's brothers, he has his grandfather's brothers, et cetera, as it goes up, as the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, the Mishnah, and the Gemara tells us, as we're told in Bava Basra, but a ger is not like that. If he has no children, then he has nobody to yashin him. So therefore, so if he dies childless, then any Jew can come and take over his property, and it becomes his, but he has to do an act of chazakah on it. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that's how Rav got a building for his yeshiva. A ger in his neighborhood had passed away. Rav went in there and drew a picture on the wall, which is a form of chazaka. And therefore, by that, the building became his, and then he used it for his yeshiva. So now one way of doing that would be he takes a shovel and digs in the ground that used to belong to the ger. So that's a chazaka. So now, if he's digging in this ground, thinking that it was his own property, so he's oyde b'nichse ager, or chasavar shaloi, he thinks that it was his own property. And he thinks it's his property. Deloy koni, then he's not koneh because he didn't have any intention to do any chazaka. So the same way he thought that kedusha yivama are toifas, he didn't because he thought that there's still something of yivum left. He didn't realize it's completely gone because of the chalitza. So therefore, we can say it's not a valid kedusha. Omele Abaya, but Abaya says, me dummy, how do you compare it? Hossam loikam a kavan lamikni. There, after all, he has no kavana to be koina at all. He thought it was his own property. Hossam loikam lamikni. Here, he does have an intention to be koina. It's the wrong kind of kinyan because there's no maimi yuvaman anymore, but nevertheless, he still had an intention to do kedushin. Unlike there, we had no intention to even be doing any kind of kinyan. So rather, says Abaya, if you can compare it to this case of Oida B'nichse Ager, you would have to compare it. A case where he's digging in the property of one ger, thinking that it's the property of a different ger. And then he is koine because he had an intention to be koine. So the same way, he thought that he's going to be koine because of his brother's kedushin, because of his brother's marriage. Really, he's only koine because of his own koya, but should still be a valid kinyan. Why does Rebbe say that not? Ella, Omar Abaya, Hocham, Maya Skinnan. Rather, Abaya says what we're talking about over here. Why does Rebbe say that if he says that it's based on Yuvamin, that he's not koine, he's going to Omar like Skadshali b'maimu Yuvamin. He actually says the words b'maimu Yuvamin. It's not just his intention. So that's the thing. Before, in both Brisa, we said that he did l'shum ishus or l'shum yabnus. Meaning, not that he actually said one way or the other, hareat mekudeshesli versus hareat mekudeshesli b'maimu Yuvamin, but rather he was just thinking it. Here we're talking about Abaya says he actually said it one way or the other. He actually said b'maimu Yuvamin. So then, Rebbe says, "A mimer ilove zika karami." So Rebbe holds that the mimer sits on top of the zika. Mimer is only possible when there's a zika preceding it. Ba'asoy chalitza afkach lezika. So therefore, chalitza removed that zika. So now there's nothing for mimer to sit on top of. Therefore, when he says "the mimer yuvamin," then that he's saying on the basis of something that no longer exists, and therefore that's no good. But Rabbanan Sabri, Hay Lachode Koi, Bahai Lachode Koi. The Chachamim say that each one stands on their own. Zika is not a basis for the Maimer. So therefore, and they say, Me'ikra, Ilu Omoloi Skadshli B'Maimer Yuvamin. After all, to begin with, if he had said to her, Iskadshli B'Maimer Yuvamin, then they say, Miloi Mahani. So wouldn't it be effective? At the beginning, if he had said to her on the when there was a zika, iskadshli b'maimer yuvamin. And the zika doesn't strengthen the maimer because they hold it separately. Hashtanami mahani. So even now, when there's no more zika, the chachamim say it still has the same effect, and therefore there is a kiddushin, and therefore she's going to need a get. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with a couple more explanations of Rebbe's opinion. So far we have a bias. So far we have Rabbi Yosef's explanation that it's because he thought that there was Yibum over here. He thought there was Zika, and it turns out that not. Abaya shot that down. So now we're saying the reason is because Rebbe holds that you need Zika as a prerequisite for Maimer, and the Chachamim are saying that you don't. And then we'll have more answers tomorrow, Best Hashem. Good night, everyone.